our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we continue this afternoon with the singing of Psalter 342, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 342, 1, 3, and 4. God's holy word This afternoon we wish to read together from the prophecies of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. But before that, let us make confession with the Church of all ages, with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say once again, we read from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So far the scripture reading. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance and ask for his help and his blessing this afternoon. A most holy, ever faithful and good doing Lord of the heavens and of all the earth. It is in the afternoon hour of this thy holy day, where it hath pleased thee by renewal to open the doors of this sanctuary, the place where thy honor dwells. And when the call to prayer may go out in the midst of the congregation, when we may come up together with our dear children, then wilt thou give also a realization of whose presence we come into. And at this moment when we bow our heads and when we lift up our voice, whose countenance it behooves us to seek in prayer. Lord, that in thy condescending mercy, we ask thee once again for what we have needed in the hour that has gone before in the morning, then we need likewise at this time present. That it would please thee to come and gather together in the midst of us. That when thy word may be proclaimed among young and old in this afternoon, that thou would take of thy spirit. That thou would bring it into the midst of the heart of a boy, a girl, a father, or a mother. And that for the first time, or once again. That is that word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. That is that what is so necessary as we all sojourn to that never-ending eternity. Lord, to come to that knowledge of that only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And then page after page of that holy scripture that gives testimony of that way, and not in the least that chapter that we have read together. But, Lord, if it must remain closed for servant and for people alike, then what shall it avail us? Then it shall only testify against us as a gift granted in this hour that we have no regard for. But, Lord, when it would become otherwise and when thou would open that word, when thou would open the mouth and when thou would open the heart, then in a moment all things become new. Oh, that that heavenly light from above would shine into a heart long closed by sin and by shame. That the shackles would have to break free and that the prison doors would have to be cast open for one who is bound in fetters and cannot come forth. Lord, then thou knowest, is there a people gathered here this afternoon for whom it has become true? Then they see no way, they see no light, but only feel that mountain of sin and guilt. And then as it has been recorded by that one of old, they are so fearful. Because if it is not removed, then it shall sink them lower than the grave, then the hell is open only to receive them. And then how shall it be but lost for all eternity, no hope and without God forever and forever? And, Lord, then there is a people whose eyes have been opened and whose feelings may have been discovered to that weight of sin and guilt. And now no solution for that way. But, Lord, wilt thou make a way then in that desert? Wilt thou break forth, could it even be, in this day, that one may see that Son of God and live? Lord, thou knowest the needs and the cares of each one, the unconverted that are in our midst, than it is to be feared that is the vast majority gathered here this afternoon. And, Lord, then may it please thee out of thy sovereign good pleasure to take many still from among them, that our children that are gathered in our midst may be given that tender fear of thee in their young heart also in these dark and in these declining times. Oh, when that evil one goes about still as that roaring lion, and then it seems, Lord, he shall devour all together. But, Lord, thou dost still have him on a leash, and he cannot touch those whom thou shall one day bring into that kingdom of heaven. And now, O Lord, when we still have those means among us, may it please thee to grant a blessing in their young heart and in their young life. Whether it be here in the church or whether it be in school or in the home, Lord, then remember each one. We lay before thee then those natural needs. Thou knowest the cares, the burdens, the difficulties, whether it be in families, in marriages, in the individual life, whether it be in the body, whether it be in the mind. Oh, then all those consequences of sin, it seems they know no bounds. Remember those who are seeking treatments for diseases. Remember those with other cares known only to them and unto thee, but unknown to others. Remember the lonely ones. Remember widows, remember widowers, remember those who cannot be gathered with us in thy house this afternoon. Thou knowest the desire of their heart, as that one of old had to cry out and say, my one desire has been that I may gather there in the house with those who keep the holy day. And then he had to stand afar off. He had to look and see them enter into that sanctuary and become so jealous of those little sparrows and those swallows. And Lord, if we may be such this afternoon, if there may be those among us that wish to lie so close to that altar that they may see that blood, that they may see that only sacrifice for that remission of sin that is so needed, then give that eye of faith to behold it. Lord, wilt thou care for the school also in this place? Wilt thou grant from week to week what is needed? Thou hast upheld hitherto amidst all the attacks that come against it. Lord, may prayer be multiplied also in the coming weeks, when again elections are set to take place. And then, Lord, thou who hast the hearts of the kings in thy hand, and turneth them whithersoever thou wilt, wilt thou turn it again unto thy way, that it would not be a token and a testimony that thou hast left us all together. Then, Lord, remember the province and remember the nation. Remember the prime minister and all those who stand round about him as his counselors and his governors. O Lord, then wilt thou above all grant a broken heart. O Lord, the arrow of conviction in his soul, then we say, is anything too hard for thee? O Lord, we hardly think it possible any more. But if thou couldst convert a Manasseh, then thou couldst still convert one as such, that the nation would not have to sink away under thy judgments. Remember the work of mission and mission field, the laborers there, thy servants who are called to labor in those places. Thou knowest all that comes against it, whether it be in the church, in the family, in the school, because then also that evil one, he is not silent. Uphold thy servant that labors in the south of that nation. Wilt thou help his wife, his children, and also those whom he has left behind so long ago now? A lonely station indeed, but wilt thou bless those labors? Remember the worker there also, together with his family who is set out from that place where they were in training for the language to take up those labors. Lord, wilt thou bless it among them? Wilt thou give those true conversions among that people as well? Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Remove that veil from their eyes. Remember the nations of the earth. Ah, Lord, then it all is round about thy hand and thy guidance and thy leading. Because until that last one shall be gathered in, then again, then the world may still turn. Remember thy Zion. Over the length and breadth of the earth wilt thou bind together what belongs together. Remember thy servants tried and true that stand upon those walls thereof. Lord, wilt thou give them to cry aloud and to spare not? Lord, remember also this congregation that hopes in the year that has begun that they may have their own building. Thou hast given that it may progress again in the months that have gone by. Then with anticipation they look forward to it as well. And Lord, wilt thou also give in due time that they may be instituted as their own congregation with their own consistory, that men may be called, may be sent, and may be set up also by thee to go in and out, to be those instructors and to stand upon the new walls of this portion of thy Zion. That the welfare of souls may be bound upon their heart for that never-ending eternity. Lord, remember us now in this hour. Grant what is needed unto thy servant to open his mouth. Lord, anoint with fresh oil. Forgive what is sinful and give an hour in thy favor for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, let us sing together the first five stanzas of Psalter 220. A great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1 through 5 of 220. May the Lord bless you and your gifts this afternoon. dear congregation, the prophet Isaiah was sent by the Lord to prophesy unto the tribes of Judah. He was sent to proclaim unto them, young and old, of those judgments that would come because of their backsliding and their continual departing from Him. He spoke exclusively how those Assyrians, they would come, that those they would come swifter than leopards, that they would come upon them unawares, and that they would take them into that land of captivity. But the Lord also gave unto that prophet that he could speak of a time where that captivity would be broken, where in due time the Lord would visit, as we have sung together, that vine that seemed so plucked up, so burned down and cast forth out of their land. And then he was given to speak of that servant who would come, that Cyrus, who the Lord would raise up his pleasure to do, to deliver that people from that land of captivity. He could say that people that had sold themselves for naught. Oh, then of the vanities of that time, then they took them in their heart and they forsook the Lord. And our congregation, then they would receive those glad tidings of that release from captivity. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, but ye shall be redeemed without money. There was nothing in that people that deserved that release, children. Oh no, the Lord would take those pleasures out of himself in that allotted time. When that 70 years was up, then indeed he would bring that people back unto himself. He would redeem them. That was for his own honor. And then he speaks of that in that previous chapter, because he says there, my name is continually every day blasphemed. And that is something that the Lord could not continue to look upon, no. And although that people had brought themselves there, then he says, I shall redeem them without money. Would he look over that sin, congregation? Was that people not guilty? Had they not made themselves worthy of that punishment? Oh, for sure, that is true. But then how shall they be delivered without that money? By such a one who says, I shall by no means clear the guilty. A people, congregation, that had made that separation between them and their God. But then he says there must be a surety, because then that prophet Isaiah, he did not have to stay with that time. Then that prophet was given to point to that people that it meant so much more, that there was a people that had sold themselves into that captivity, that they were in the chains of bondage, that they were in that darkness, and yet the Lord would raise up a deliverer. He would raise up his servant to pay the debt. He would, so that that people could be brought forth, and that without money, that without price, that they would have those chains broken and be brought forth into that land of promise. That is that only way, congregation, of salvation for that flock of the Lord. I wish to ask your attention this afternoon for our text that speaks of that flock. The verses 6 and 7 of that chapter we have read together, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So far the text words. We ask your attention this afternoon. The only salvation for the Lord's flock with three thoughts. In the first place, the straying sheep. In the second place, the spotless surety. And in the third place, the sufficient sacrifice. The only salvation for the Lord's flock, the straying sheep, in the first place. And that spotless surety. And lastly, that sufficient sacrifice. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Congregation, we read in Revelation that the Lord would separate the sheep from the goats. And there he is speaking about those elect ones and those reprobate ones. That is not what he is speaking about here in the prophecy of Isaiah. When he speaks about those sheep, he is encompassing that whole people of Judah. And when he speaks about it by the mouth of that prophet, and when it is applied also in our day, because children, God's word never gets old. That is a word for all ages. That is a word also for this hour. That is a word for you when you grow up. And then when he is speaking about that in this afternoon, then he is saying, all we like sheep, that is all mankind. Oh, if that would resound in our ears this afternoon, hey. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We are compared to sheep without a shepherd. It is not that we did not have a place, but now that flock of sheep, you see them going now, children. Then they are going wherever they want to go. There is no one to watch over them. And they are bent on going their own way. And oh, what a perilous condition. It is dangerous then for that flock of sheep. We know those sheep. Then they really do not have any defense mechanisms, do they? Yeah, even when a sheep would try to run away, then they are not so fast. And they really do not have so much sense on where to run. If you have ever seen a flock of sheep run that is scared, then they scatter. Then one goes this way and one goes that way and maybe one will follow the other one. And they have no sense of direction. They run for the sake of running. And our congregation, even when they are not running, and then those sheep, if they were astray, if they were outside of that fold and night comes upon them, then you can imagine, young people, then they would be an easy prey, especially in that time and in that country that these people were familiar with. Then there would be, yeah, the bears, the lions, the wolves. They would make an easy meal of that sheep. No shepherd. And they will not find that fold themselves. They will not go back in on their own accord. No. They easily are lost. You know, those sheep, they do not have such good eyesight, eh? No, then really, the sheep about 5 feet, that is about all they want to focus on. And they're always staring at the ground. Yeah, where the next place to eat? To nibble a little here. You see them going, nibble a little bit there. And soon, the more they eat, the more they wander. And, yeah, never looking again for the shepherd. Never looking for the flock. And soon, way off to the side. Maybe off to the side of the mountain. Maybe fall off the cliff. Maybe roll into a pit. And all if that happens to a sheep. I don't know if there are any sheep farmers here. But then if you get a sheep on his back, then that sheep cannot get up. Then that sheep does not even struggle anymore. Then he just lays there with all four legs in the air, so to speak. So helpless. Not even bleeding. Not even crying for help. You say, yeah, those sheep. Those, they are kind of dim-witted animals, you would say. But you know, those sheep have been given something still. By the Lord. They have been given a very keen ear. They can hear. And you know, children, when those little lambs are born there in that flock, then already they know that mothers bleat. And there may be a flock of hundreds of sheep with lots of little lambs, but they all know that mother's voice. And you know what else they learn? They learn that shepherd's voice. They may learn that. But now if they are outside of that hearing of those voices, then you can imagine that although they have that one quality that is to their advantage, it does them no good. It is so little avail because now they have gone so far off. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Those sheep need a shepherd. They need one who cares for them. They need that one to gather them at night, to bring them into the fold. They need that one with that rod and that staff to lift them out of that dangerous place. And now, congregation, what we have set before you about those sheep, the prophet says, now that is us. That is you and that is I. All we, like sheep, we have gone astray. We have put ourselves in such a perilous state, a lost condition. We make ourselves an easy prey. And now it is not that we never had a shepherd. Oh no, we had a shepherd in paradise. We had one that watched over us. Oh, there were walls there, so to speak. It was a wall of the covenant. Oh, that was set up there by that shepherd of that sheep. And who was that? It was the Lord. Oh, what tender care he had for those sheep. Those were our two parents there. And in those two parents were mankind. All mankind comes forth out of Adam and Eve. But now what has happened? What has happened there? Oh, remember that keen hearing. Oh, yes, they heard that shepherd day by day. They walked with that voice in the garden in the cool of the day. But now I see an imposter. I see one coming to them so subtly. One to imitate that voice of that shepherd. Who was that? You say it's the devil. He comes there to tempt our first parents, to cause them to go astray. He comes in those soft, low tones, just like the shepherd would talk to those sheep. And yet, congregation, when he came to those happy, those contented sheep, you know we can never blame the Lord for that, because we knew the Lord's voice. We knew what was right and wrong. Oh, we knew those boundaries of that covenant. We knew those boundaries of that fold. We knew that that was placed there for our own good. But then how is it with us? What did it become with us? We would not have that shepherd. Then we wanted to break down that fold. Then we wanted to go our own way. We will not have that man to reign over us. We want to give our ear to that serpent. We want to go. We want to see what is beyond what the Lord has set those boundaries for. But now what has happened to you, to me by nature? We are like those sheep fallen in a pit. We have fallen off a cliff. Although we were set on our feet so upright, so perfect, with undefiled wool, now we are upside down. And so far away from that shepherd, so polluted, never to hear his voice, because all we have left him that has become foreign to us. Gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. A picture of us congregation. And now what is happening to you and me? What is happening to you children? Whether we are young or old, now death with rapid strides is coming upon us. But just like those sheep, we are so insensible to it. We go on so easily. We don't even bleat. We don't even cry out for that shepherd. Our congregation, what a vivid picture. Because how shall that be if we have to die in such a state? Because where have we been placed as those sheep? Also now, children, we have been born on a field, on the field of the church. And the Lord sets before us still in His goodness those green pastures, as it were. You say, minister, what is that now? That is His word. He may highly privilege you, congregation. In the coming months, then, yeah, you look with anticipation. You see that new church building going up. And you say, yeah, now week by week, each week it gets closer. We may leave this place and we may come into that place where the Lord has set that green pasture of His word for us, that He might gather us as a flock there. So from week to week, do you cherish that? Well, you should. That is a great privilege that is denied so many others, my young people. How do you come to church? Do you come with an appetite? Do you come that you may graze a little out of that word? Do you bend your knees then, children? Do you say, oh, Lord, wilt thou feed me with a little food that is convenient for my own soul? Because the Lord places that right before, you know, we have dim eyesight, don't we? We don't see it. And yet the Lord gives it to us right before our eyes. Do we love that word? Do we cherish that word? Do we try to bend our knees? You know, those little lambs, you ever see them eat? Then they go down on their knees. Is that how you come before those green pastures? Is that how you come before church? Do you say, ah, Lord, may I bend my knees now? Wilt thou give me yet a prayer to pray? Lord, wilt thou lead me to that shepherd? Because I have gone so far away. Oh, may I hear that voice of that shepherd. May I learn to hear that voice. May I learn to know, ah, Lord, wilt thou renew that beastly heart that is within me? Wilt thou give me that desire to be led unto that shepherd that I would not graze so easily on that stubble? Because we are so inclined, aren't we, to graze on all what the world has to offer. You see, the Lord highly privileges us, but how long? How long shall that be before that fold, that eternal fold, you know what I'm speaking about now, is closed forever? And that can come individually, just like all we have turned everyone to his own way. Then there is an allotted time unto us, congregation, also here below. We all have privileges that we all have to give an account for. That is individually. Then we don't look at mom or dad or brother or sister or our neighbor. Then I am guilty of all that the Lord has made me originally, and all that I have forsaken here below. Oh, has that become your sin and guilt, congregation? That is that result of that going astray from that great shepherd who only desired our good. And yet, the Lord gives that he may speak of another shepherd. He may speak of another servant. He may speak of a surety also in this chapter. Who is that? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, I read in verse 6. Well, that is a clear answer, because the Lord himself testifies, does he not? He says, I am that great shepherd. I am that shepherd there of that sheep. And that prophet of Isaiah, he could speak about that servant who would come, who would deliver those Jewish people there out of that captivity. Oh, then congregation, then those people, they also knew who that prophet was speaking of. Oh, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Oh, he would come. You know that those shepherds, they were to be servants. They were really servants to those sheep. That is also true today. When a minister may receive a congregation, then he is called to serve. A flock needs an under-shepherd. You may pray for that also. I hope you do, children. Yeah, may receive a new church. But then you may receive the office bearers also. They also care for your soul. But now the Lord says, a great servant, a greater shepherd. And he has to be that surety. He has to give his life for that flock. He will come as a servant. He has a work to perform. He has to give his life. That is what we are reading here. Oh, that is none other than the Lord Jesus. And what is more said about that surety? Oh, is it a light thing that he shall give his life, that he should be his servant to raise up those tribes, those lost tribes of Judah, those in captivity? No, he says, I will give thee to be a light for the Gentiles. You know, young and old, had it not been for that, had it not been for the Father's good pleasure upon a people that he would call to himself, then there would be no sense for us to be gathered here today. And there would be no sense to build that new church. But now the Lord says, I am still gathering. I am still gathering a people unto myself. I shall gather those preserved of Israel, and I shall gather those Gentiles. I shall gather all those who lie still under that seal of election. Oh, there is a people also when this world groans under that weight of sin that the Lord still has his mark upon. Oh, has that ever become a wonder in your life, congregation, that only way to be saved is because of that Father's good pleasure from eternity, that he would give that servant, that he would give that surety to gather that people? He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now we need to stop. Because now who is included in that all? Is that all those same people? Oh, no. It is those whom we have spoken about. It is about that elect. Oh, then there shall not a hoof be left behind, we read in God's word. Then they shall be gathered in. And although all have gone astray, then all shall not go lost. Because there is a multitude that the Lord is gathering into that heavenly fold, young and old. And now, should that not be your prayer in these times? Should that not be your prayer when you see the progress of the church building? You say, Lord, that is a wonder that thou would establish a church also here. That is a privilege that we do not deserve. But it is not enough for my poor soul. It is not enough to be a member of Nobleford. I need to be a member of that greater flock. I need to be brought to that great shepherd. I need to know the work of that servant of the Lord. I need that surety for my soul. Oh, is there a people here who have learned their sin and their guilt? That has made that separation. Oh, that prophet could speak of it. Your iniquity, behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is that separation come upon you. Oh, then was there a people that looks upon their defiled wool? And they say, oh, how shall I ever be clean again? Oh, that sin that sticks to me, that guilt that weighs me down. And now, that devil, he seems like he will devour me. Oh, but they are not afraid mostly of that devil. They say that wrath of the Lord, that justice of that Holy One, that is so right and that is so pure. And then how shall I appear before him? And then it is not enough to come into those green pastures. It is not enough to have his word. That shall be a covering that is too short for my soul. I need to be covered by that greater surety. I need that one whom the prophet has spoken about. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. You know what I need. By his knowledge shall my righteous serve and justify many. Ah, Lord, may those iniquities, may they be laid upon him. Oh, we have heard of that surety. We have heard of that servant congregation. But that speaks of so much more. It speaks of that Son of God, that servant, that surety, but he had to become something else. He had to become a sheep. He had to become like one of them. And yet without sin. Oh, because that holy demand of that Father. He said that same nature that has sinned it away. Yes, already in paradise. And yes, here below. And then that payment must be made for that. And oh, then he desired to come so willingly. He desired to come on these pastures here below. This barren land. Oh, congregation, has that become a wonder in your life? That the Lord would give such a Savior for such sheep. A people that have lost the threefold mandate. They were prophet, they were priest, they were king. Lost that image of the Lord. And when that demand comes, that must be brought back, that must be given back. Has that become a wonder that there is one that has come as that servant? One who has come as that prophet. One who has come as that surety. One who has come as that priest. But also that one that comes to protect, that one who comes as that shepherd. He comes as that king. Oh, him, he who was that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords, then he became as that sheep congregation. Not a lost sheep, not a wandering sheep, not a foolish sheep, but a lamb without blemish, that spotless one, that perfect one. That sacrificial Lamb of God, which taketh away that sin of the world. Oh, how it was all in him, congregation. Oh, has that ever become a wonder? Have we ever seen that? Young and old, that is what is so necessary, eh? As we travel here. That I may have that surety for my guilt. For my poor soul, as I travel to eternity. Because that is that only sufficient sacrifice, our third thought. But let us sing first. 142. All the stanzas. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, Oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1 through 4 of 142.
Thank you.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. A congregation, it was not enough that he would be a shepherd, that he would come with that rod to drive those sheep into the fold, that he would come to with that staff to merely pull those sheep out of the pit. No, because I read again in Revelation, there shall nothing that defileth enter therein. Oh, what they needed was what we have sung together. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. Oh, how shall that ever take place for such lost, wandering, filthy, hell-worthy sheep? How shall that justice be paid? How shall that price be given? Oh, what is that ransom price? How shall they be redeemed without money? Before that one who has said, ye have sold yourself for naught. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of that sheep, of those people, of those ones that he had looked upon from all eternity, congregation. We are all familiar with that Passover. There that lamb had to be set aside on that last evening. Before that deliverance out of Egypt, there he had to be slain. And there the blood of that lamb, children, where did that have to go? That had to go on the doorpost and on the upper lintel. And then those members of that household, they had to be behind that blood, did they not? Because that angel of death was coming. Oh, that lamb had to be that sacrifice. That blood had to be shed. And they had to teach that to their children throughout the generations, congregation. That death of that lamb and that blood that had to be poured out, that was a symbol of that life. And when those children of Israel were in the wilderness, then also the Lord instructed Moses about those two he-goats that had to be taken from the flock. There that one had to be slain. There that one had to be placed upon the altar for a burnt offering. And the other, that priest had to lay his hand upon the head. He had to symbolically place the sins of that people upon that goat. And then where did that goat have to go? And that had to be driven out into the wilderness, never to be seen anymore, our congregation. That is what that sufficient sacrifice had to do for that people. There had to be that justification, but there also had to be that sanctification. There had to be that cleansing. There had to be that payment. But there needed to be that washing. And all that had to be found in that one spotless Lamb of God, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That pointed to him to bear away those sins of that people. Called the Lamb of God, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of that people. And now, congregation, what would happen to us that suffer, to suffer and to die If that wrath of God had to be poured out upon us, then we have to pay for our own sin. But for that people that may be found in that surety, then he has borne their reproach. He has borne their shame. He has borne their sin. He has borne their guilt. Not that they put that on him, though. Placed there by that hand of that Father to redeem that people without money and without price. He was brought as a sheep, as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And there is something else yet about sheep, young people. When those sheep are to be sheared, then that shepherd, then he sets that sheep down on its hindquarters. And that sheep does not struggle. And then those shears have to be run down that sheep. And even if you nick that sheep, even if you get a little deep, so to speak, and you lay that sheep open, that sheep does not even flinch. So often, it does not cry out. And the blood may even be flowing. That sheep is silent. And when that shearing is over, then that sheep has to be coaxed to get up again. And when those sheep are to be brought to the slaughter, that is one animal that will follow right behind the other one, right to the place of slaughter. And maybe there are those in our midst who've had to slaughter animals. And then often it is that when there is that smell of blood, then those other animals that are next in line, so to speak, then they get fidgety. They know something is coming. Even those animals, but not a sheep. They will step right up to that place of execution. They give themselves, as it were, willingly, such a picture, congregation. And again, how would it be with us? If we were to be stripped of our dignity, like that lamb that was brought to the slaughter, that greater lamb. If we were to be made a laughingstock, if we were to be wrongfully accused, would we not open our mouth? Would we not seek to maintain ourselves? Would we not say, oh, I did not do it. That is not me, no. We are true men, like those brothers of Joseph. That is what we do by nature, congregation. Oh, then we have proven that already in paradise. That woman that thou didst give me, that serpent beguiled me. Do you see it? Then we always seek to push the blame on another, don't we? But now that spotless surety, he said, for those sheep, I take it all upon me. And I go so willingly to that place. Our congregation, is there a people here this afternoon for whom it has become different? Then they have owned their sin and they have owned their guilt. And yet they do not become indifferent underneath it, no. Because at that same time, love has been shed abroad in that heart for a shepherd. And although they do not know him, no. They say, I have to die and I cannot die. No, they do not know him as a shepherd, no. But they have that love to a good-doing God. He has done nothing but give me those green pastures for 50, 60, maybe only 10 or 15 years. But he has been so good. Despite of my straying away, In spite of all my foolishness and in spite of all my ignorance, He has spared me. He has watched over me when I did not seek Him. And I have only left Him days without number. And now it would be so just, it would be so right, if I had to be brought to that place of execution, that if these sins that I feel upon my back, and that wool that is no good anymore, if He would say, away with you forever, then I would have to go away. Then I would have to go away. But a cry is still born in the bottom of the heart. Lord, is there still a way? In Thy judgment Thou art just, and in Thy sentence Thou art right. But, Lord, my mouth is in the dust, and yet I pant for Thee. Thou didst it unto me, and it was right. All that is what David had to say in Psalm 39. But then he said, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Is there a waiting people here this afternoon? Is there a people that has to say, seek Thy servant who has gone astray like a lost sheep? Because I know not the way back anymore. I need those legs put back underneath me again. But you know what they learn. Those legs, they are so lame. They are so poor. And what else? They do not know the way. They do not know the way anymore. That shepherd would come. That shepherd would pick them up so tenderly. And that shepherd would say, now I carry you back to the fold. I take you for my own account. I press you so close to my breast. I carry you over the mountains. I carry you through the valleys. I bring you to that rest of that flock, because I had a regard unto you. Oh, is there a people this afternoon that had to be on Mount Moriah? And they thought, oh, now that knife shall come down. Then it would be so just. But they saw that ram that was caught in the thickets. Oh, then they see that one who was that surety for their soul. That they had to feel that those ropes had to be cut off. And that they could go free. But that ram, he had to be laid upon the altar in their place. Oh, then what a wonder it became there in their life. Is there such here this afternoon who has heard that servant who was sent to preach those good tidings unto those that were in the prison house? That prison had to be opened? Or is there a people, they say, oh Lord, wilt Thou give it still? Wilt Thou give that I may hear their voice? May I hear that proclaiming of that liberty? And may I see something of that servant? May I see something of that surety? May I hear that voice of that shepherd? May he come also in that land of captivity. When I am so far from Thy court, so far from where I should be. Oh, that it only lies in that sufficient sacrifice. Oh, may there still be room for me in that fold. May I see that one who was that surety. May I behold that one who, though he was a king, he became a servant. Although he was there high in the heavens with that Father, that he came here upon the earth. Although he was rich, that he became so poor. That he is that lion out of the tribe of Judah, and he became a lamb here to give himself a ransom for many. Oh, that one who was so omnipotent, and he became weak, that he gave himself into death, yea, the death of the cross, so willingly. That one who was clothed with majesty, but then he was spit upon. He was ridiculed. Oh, his visage was more marred than any other man. Oh, that one who was given his life, who had given his life as that ransom to go unto that cross, to give his blood spilled upon the ground for that people that would never come unto him anymore. That one who was ridiculed, that one who was mocked, that one who was forsaken of his Father, that one who was that tree of life, and yet gave that life on the tree of the cross. That one who was from heaven, and he sunk down to hell. Oh, that is that surety that I need. Is there a people that has that need in their heart here in this afternoon? Oh, then that servant, that surety, he is that one that is still alive. He is that one who still sends that Spirit, who came so willingly to gather that people. Oh, when he could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. He says, I go to the end for them. I go to the end for that sheep. I will seek them out. I will find him. Oh, for the glory of my Father, for the greatness of that name, for the salvation of that people. A congregation, if that may be our portion this afternoon, he will never leave that sheep wander. That sheep shall never find their death. No. He will come. He will come in due time and he will pick them up. He will bring them into that fold in due time. But our congregation, if we are still ignorant of that way, if we are still going for our own account, if we are still nibbling here and still grazing here, and then we see how close we can get to the edge of the cliff over here, then I have to warn you. Oh, be careful, be careful. Bow your knees still. Beg that the Lord would give you that eyesight to him, that he would open your ears to hear that voice once as you have never heard it before. The voice of that shepherd. Open my eyes to see that sacrificial lamb. Open my eyes to behold my defiled wool. Open my eyes to see that there is no way back for such a hell-worthy sinner but through that surety. And people of the Lord, he has sought you. Oh, then maybe you feel that you have to feel that rod from time to time. But that is held in that hand of the shepherd. And then you say, I am still so foolish. I am still so blind. And those sheep that can barely look up, then I need my eyes drawn time and again unto that one. Then I need that rod on the right side. I need that rod on the left side. And sometimes I need that crook to lift me up again out of the pit. Because I stumble on. I stumble on. And I lose the way so easy. But he shall never let you go. Oh no. It is his hand that leads. It is his hand that guides. Because he is that greater shepherd. And he has given that life, he has given that blood for those perishing sheep. And although you think that that wolf shall at last get you, maybe you shall be within a foot of that fold. And you say, then I shall still perish. No, that can never be because he has snatched you out of the jaws of that wolf before. And he shall never let you go. Oh no, no, because it is his blood. It is his life. He leads, he cares, and he will bring you at last into that eternal fold. And there he will wipe all tears from your eyes. And there ye shall sing that song of Moses and the Lamb. Amen. O great shepherd of thy chosen sheep, Thou knowest those who are thine. May it please thee to still gather from among us and among our children. O Lord, thou hast granted that in this flock they may receive a place in due time round about thy word in their own church building. And when they may receive also those shepherds to watch over them, may it please thee to raise them up, to lead and to guide, but above all, that thou thyself would be that greater shepherd, that thou would bring them into that green pastures of thy word, and that thou would bring them into that fold, that eternal fold one day. Lord, wilt thou teach? Wilt thou instruct? Wilt thou grant what is needed unto young and old, that eye unto thee, that opened ear before thee? And Lord, wilt thou do it then for thy great and for thy worthy name's sake? Forgive what was sinful. Wilt thou hear our prayer for Jesus' sake? Amen. The four stanzas of 52. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 1-4 of 52. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.